Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I trust that you're having a great day. I trust that you'll have a godly day as well. This morning, we want to focus our attention on Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we're not going to read all the verses. It starts with verse 5 and goes all the way through verse 17, but it talks about the Lord having to correct us as His children. Yes, we well remember the times when our parents had to correct us, when they had to even spank us, as it were. And the writer of Hebrews is describing that very thing in chapter 12 and verse 5 when he says that, "I'm speaking to you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges or spanks every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they," that's our earthly fathers, "verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," that's God the Father, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness." And that, of course, is what the Lord wants to accomplish. He wants us to get back to righteousness. Now, as we look at the life of King David and the life of King Saul, it's an amazing contrast. In fact, it's interesting that it was after King David's immorality with Bathsheba that God called David a man after my own heart. Wow. That is certainly a God of mercy and grace. Now, why is it that David was a man that experienced the blessings of God and King Saul didn't? I think it gets back to how they responded to correction. You see, Saul had some seemingly minor acts of disobedience and self-will that kind of led to a pattern of developing pride, leading to some rationalization that led to God's rejection. But yet David, and he was guilty of sexual immorality, he was guilty of murder, he was a self-confessed sin that led him to be declared by God as a man after my own heart, Acts 13:22. Now, we see both men were overtaken in pride. Yet what a tremendously different outcome in their lives. See, everybody makes mistakes. But the question is, how correctable are you? And that's why our focus is on the correctable Christian. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. But King Saul was not correctable. He did not have a teachable spirit. He was constantly making excuses. And we find the story written in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where King Saul was being corrected, and Samuel was speaking to him about disobeying him, about not waiting for him to show up and offer the burnt offerings that Samuel said he would offer before Saul and his army went to battle. But 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 8 says that Saul tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Basically, the people were scattered from him. There's the key. You see, Saul had a problem with pride. He loved it when people were gathered around him. He loved it when people were praising him. It tore him up when people were not following him, when they were not rallying around him. And so just that one little phrase, "The people were scattered from following him." And then it says in the previous verse that all the people followed him trembling. You see, he was not the strong leader that they thought he would be. You remember back when they were asking for a king? And they said to Samuel, "We want a king like all the other nations so that our king can lead us into battle." Wow. What happened to that stalwart man of faith and man of courage that would lead them into battle? They didn't find it in Saul. And so as a result of that, they followed him trembling, and then they began to just kind of peel off and become AWOL. And so pride became the issue in Saul's life. To accomplish what he thought he needed to, he decided, "I'm just going to offer this burnt offering myself." He wasn't going to wait for the prophet. He thought, "Well, I'll just blame the preacher. You know, he's late. Or I'll blame the people. You know, they're afraid." See, it's amazing how many people you can blame when you choose to sin. How correctable are you? Are you willing to admit, "You know, I made that choice. Yes, I chose to sin." Or are you constantly trying to blame somebody else? So we see then the rationalization sets in. When Samuel comes along and says, "Saul, what have you done?" And Saul says in verse 11, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I," okay, so here he is talking to himself, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord." Boy, how spiritual can you get? He said, "I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." So you see, the rationalization begins. Now, that rationalization soon led to resistance, because as soon as Samuel spoke to him and said, "Thus saith the Lord," he did not immediately repent. He did not immediately say, "Samuel, you are right. I was wrong. That was dumb. I shouldn't have done that." No, no, no. He began to resist the words from God's man. And that soon led to becoming inflexible before the Lord. Hey, that's a question. How flexible am I before the Lord? Do I recognize that God is the one in control? Am I yielded to Him? Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15 that later he was commanded to totally destroy the Amalekites. But there again, disobedience that came from rationalization. Same thing. You see, in his mind, "Oh, I don't have to destroy everything. I'd kind of like to keep this king alive so I can parade him back into the streets of Jerusalem and everybody will be praising me as they see this defeated king. I'd kind of like to keep the special things, the best animals, and not kill them." You see, he was commanded to totally destroy everything. It says in verse 3 of 1 Samuel 15, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not." So you see, disobedience that led to rationalization, because in his mind, partial obedience was the same thing as total obedience. How untrue that is. If I choose just partial obedience, basically I have total disobedience. Now again, we see pride in him. It says, "And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place." He set him up a place. Yeah. He's making monuments to himself. How true that is. When we are inflexible before the Lord, when we are unteachable, we don't have a repentant spirit. We want people to think highly of us. Oh, man, we can build some fantastic monuments to ourselves. You see, pride is something that caused him to mess up his life totally. Samuel caught him in a lie. And so he asks King Saul, "What have you done?" And he says, "I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel says, "Well, why do I hear sheep bleeding and oxen mooing? If you've killed everything, what am I listening to?" See, Samuel caught him in a lie. And here's Samuel, the man of God, confronting him. Have you ever had anybody confront you about your sin? What is the first temptation? Same one that Saul had. To lie about it. To lie about it. You see, that is an invitation to sin. Now, it's a logical departure from God's will, but it's always sin. It's not common sense. And so, verse 15 tells us that Saul said, the people have brought all these animals, and the people said we had to do this. So it was rationalization again, not repentance. Is that the way you respond when you're confronted? Do you rationalize? Do you beg? Do you try to bargain? Do you even try to intimidate others around you? Now, here's the confrontation of the principle. You don't want to discuss specific sin. You just rather discuss the principle. And see, that's exactly what Samuel did. He said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Sometimes people think it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Is that your attitude? Saul didn't find it to be so. It certainly wasn't easier to get forgiveness than permission. And so we find a spirit of resignation in verse 24 when Samuel has approached him. He said, okay, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. See, there it is again. He's making excuses. Whenever you make excuses for your sin, you're not really confessing it. You're simply saying, it really wasn't my fault, totally. It was somebody else. See, now that's different than repentance. And we see his attitude of pride when Samuel is walking away. He's just told him God's going to take the kingdom away from him. And Samuel is walking away. And he says in verse 30, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel. And turn again that I may worship the Lord thy God. Honor me now. Now here's a guy that wants to be honored by people after he has sinned against the Lord. But you see, Proverbs 15:33 says that honor has to come after humility. Honor comes after humility. And so thinking himself superior to Samuel and to God, he refuses to acknowledge his need of discipline. Do you have that same problem? When you're confronted with your sin, when the preacher's preaching, or when you hear someone speaking the truth and you know it's the truth, do you have difficulty admitting your sin and confessing it and forsaking it? Next time, we'll look at David, the process of correction in David's life. And I want you to see how God blessed David because he was a correctable Christian. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.